This is Victory House.
Last week, Pastor Emmanuel had expressed that if you had any question on relationship, you should email it to, I think it was Minister, Pastor at Victory All the Way, but I'm not sure how many emails we got. ORG. If you can show that email again, please, that'll help. But we have a few questions that we'll just go through. And please, I'm going to need two mics, just as people ask questions or give comments. And just for time control, I'll answer some questions first that I already have that, you know, and then I would give room for, I'm going to take one or two live questions. And then also, I'm going to take one or two live comments. So if you want to just add to it again, and this is all just for time control. We have like 20 minutes to do this. So there are a few questions that we have. And the first question that we'll talk about or that I want to throw out there is, how do I mend a broken relationship? How do I mend a broken relationship? It could be a, you know, sibling relationship. It could be parent relationship, mother, father, you know. It could also be a relationship with your boss that, you know, or it could be a relationship with your friend. You guys are childhood friends. He got married, you got married, and now there's a break in that relationship. How do I mend it? That's the first question. There are a few ways that you can mend that relationship. I'll answer it. I'm not going to throw it out there yet. I think the second one is more interesting. So I'll answer this one, I'll throw the second one out there. But there are a few ways that you can mend a broken relationship. I'm not sure if you guys have read Five Languages of Apology by Gary Chapman. I think he has a phenomenal book on relationship, apology, and healing, if you will. He talked about a few things, but the first thing is, he talked about the five languages, you know, expressing regret, accepting responsibility, making restitution, genuinely seeking repentance, requesting forgiveness. But this is in a case whereby the person has wronged you, and what if the person doesn't acknowledge that I've wronged you, but the relationship is severe for whatever reason? First of all, take a step back and understand that you want to come from a place of healing yourself, so you have to forgive the person, whether the person has said I'm sorry or not. Some people will tell you they're sorry. Some people may not tell you they're sorry, right? So you, for yourself, you have to first forgive that person, and you have to get to that place. Some people get there sooner rather than later. And here's a scripture that I'll tell you. I saw the scripture and it really helped me buttress this point. This is God saying in Isaiah 43, verse 25. It says, I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake. But why? Why would God do it for his own sake? I thought I was the one that wronged God. Why is God blotting it out for his own sake? Why not for your own sake, right? And then he says, I will not remember your sins anymore. So this is God taking a stand. He said, I will blot it out for my own sake. Whether the person apologizes or not, you have to get to that point of, look, I forgive you. Because if I don't forgive you, I'm not going to be able to move forward. And here's the reality. Some people will not even say, I'm sorry. Some people don't even know they've offended you, right? So my advice is, how do you mend the relationship? First of all, forgive the person. Look for every excuse in the book, in scripture, to find it in your heart to forgive this person. Maybe that's their personality. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe they didn't mean what they said. Maybe I just interpreted it wrong. It would help you put things in perspective. I'll say to somebody, I say, look, even if somebody steps me, I'll say, maybe they didn't see my foot. I'm telling you, you have to come to that point, because you deal with people. There are people that would knowingly throw you off. And if we are communing with God, it's hard for you to be harboring unforgiveness and talking to God. So it's not for you. I have way too many projects I'm asking God to do in my life. So you please step on it again, because that's not going to be the reason why I don't get my blessing. Does that make sense? So the first thing is unforgiveness. And then the second thing is you make it a point of duty to look for avenues to make that, to invest in that relationship. What do I mean by that? This may not be a logical thing. Somebody offends you and you're angry at that person. Buy them a gift. Oh, I heard that. Someone said, what? Buy them a gift. It would open up doors for you. Now, that might be the end goal. You might first start out praying for the person. You might first, and I heard this from, I think it was John Bevere, exactly. He had an issue, and he was praying, and God told him to go and buy the person a gift. He fought it for like months, but eventually he did. And I thought to myself, imagine there's a misunderstanding between me and Pastor Emmanuel now. Pastor Emmanuel is not talking to me. And I just woke up and I bought Pastor Emmanuel. He would take the gift, whether we are not talking. He would at least take the gift first. Then it starts opening up conversations. Get what I'm saying? In a nutshell, let me not go into preaching. So I think the first thing is forgive the person, and then you take it upon yourself to invest in that relationship. Okay, so we have a question. Or we have a comment. Praise God. Where's the mic?
I guess my question is, should every broken relationship be mended? I mean, I think there are some relationships that if they are broken, they should remain broken for for both parties, I think. But I mean, Bible encourages us to live peaceably with all men. But I think that some relationships are toxic. So, and sometimes if you're trying to mend a relationship and the other person is not, especially when it's not a marriage, it's not a do or die thing, and the other person is not, you don't have a mutual understanding to stay in the relationship, I think it might be hurtful to always keep buying gifts to the person. Or, I'm just saying that there could be some are there some relationships that should remain broken?
I think there are relationships that need, I don't want to use the word broken, but there are people come into your lives, it's defined, right? I'll give you an example. I'm a firm believer that if I'm going to end a relationship, it should not be because I'm angry, because I've burnt that bridge. Now, if you do something to me and upsets me, I'll forgive you, but I have defined that relationship. I'm not going to give you an opportunity to hurt me anymore. And I think not all relationships, I mean, you can't carry everybody everywhere. There's some people that come into your life for a season, they'll help you, and it's time to move on. But here's the reality. You said the scripture that I was going to say. As it is within you, you should live peaceably with all men. Now, obviously, there are going to be some people that you can't live peaceably with. In that situation, you as yourself, I'm not fighting you, but I'm not going to give you access to throw me off my balance. You get what I'm saying? So, I think you should not be the one say, okay, look, this relationship is not working. I'm done with you. Forget it. I'm out. Now, that could be the summary, but you don't have to be the one that is angry at that person. Does that make sense? I can't be angry at you, right? Because whether you accept it or not, the moment anger comes in, it first starts with a foothold. Before you know it, it becomes a stronghold, and it leads to unforgiveness. Whereby you see the person 5 years later, you're just angry at him, and you don't know why you're angry. And you're just angry at him. Now, what if there are things that person, you need to work with that person on for whatever God has called you to do? You get what I'm saying? So my own thing is, every relationship, because that's God's method of blessing people, is through relationship. While I may not like you, or while you've angered me, I would make sure that I am not walking in unforgiveness, and I'll still leave that conversation open, because you never know what happens, right? So, but to your point, I think you should define some relationships that are toxic, and just, as you say, toxic, so you know that I can't drink from this relationship, I can't let this relationship influence my decision, but it is well with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I'll go to the second question, and I'm going to ask this question to just one person. The first person to raise up their hand should just answer it. If you have two options to pick between two people for marriage. These are two the single people, praise God. You have two options to pick between two people for marriage. You like one, the person that you like doesn't seem serious, but you just like him. But he just is just a or her. I was gonna say the person is just a clown, but I won't use that word. But you just like being around that person. But the person is not really purposeful, there's no potential there, it's just a but the other person that likes you that you don't like is more focused, he's more driven, and things like that. Who should you pick?
I like you. Number two. Okay, please, yeah. Toast here. So, being out.
Praise the Lord. To me, that question is very, very simple. I'm telling you. It's number two. And the reason why I said number two is, first of all, love doesn't come in one day. That person, as far as the person like you, is the most important thing in the relationship there. That no, the second person.
But you don't like the person.
That's what I'm saying. As far as the person likes you, it's the most important thing there. Because you can grow to loving the person if you really want to, you know, settle down. Because at the end of it all, if you go with the first person, like the pastor said, your heart will just be shattered. Every time. So that's the best answer for me.
Okay.
Okay.
I agree with you, but I have a follow-up question. Is it not possible that the person who is on serious today will become serious tomorrow?
That's
and no. And is it also possible that I end up, no, I'm already married and I'm satisfied, but that person ends up marrying the option two, yeah. And but she's still thinking about option one.
Yes.
So, because that person, she really likes the person's personality.
Exactly.
So she marries someone who is going somewhere to happen, like, you know, she's purposeful. But she's mentally thinking about, so how do you?
All right. So let evidence speak and then we would, I would address it.
I think I would say the person she sets is her priorities right, first of all. Like, you have to have what you want in your life. I don't understand. Why would you want the person that doesn't have a future? It doesn't have a future, exactly. That is why you don't have your priorities right. Okay. It means you want to suffer. Why would you want to suffer? I don't understand why you want to suffer.
So I guess here's the thing, and I don't understand all spiritual. Let me just finish this. I don't understand all spiritual, but you see, we don't know the future, right? We don't know the future. And you want to go into marriage with something called conviction, that regardless of what it is, God told me to stay here, right? Many of us that are where we are today, if you had talked to any one of us 20, 15 years ago, there's no future. Paul was saying something. He said, when God called many of you, you were not noble people. Yeah. Right? When God called you, you were there was no influence. You were just laying about, just hanging out, right? Sorry, one second. Right? So my point is this. While this question seems very easy to answer, you need to take a step back and ask God. You get what I'm saying? That's how I'll end it. But because we have too many. Okay. Let's go. Yeah, I'll end with this question because of time. I know there are like five hands. They can. Yeah. Okay. I might end with this question. I might not go to next. Okay. Let's open it up. Number one. Abraham is number one. Number two. 1 minute. Number three. Number four. One minute.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Like what my brother said.
Yes.
Said
we can just. Just stand up so people can see you.
He said it's easy. It might look easy in the eyes of men, but going into it, you might find yourself like, why did I go into it? Both answers work in different reach based on your personality. Like what Mommy said, Pastor Tope said, about the relationship. Sometimes you might go into it, burn yourself out before you realize that what do I need to do? So, to my own experience, like the first one you mentioned, I've encountered a relationship whereby she's so much down. She gave up her friends for me. But at the end of the day, I put so much more because of her commitment. At the end of the day, she gave up. Because when we are talking about brokenness, it's not something that we just use our eyes and just say, oh, it's just brokenness, you can pick yourself up. Some personality will give up and lose themselves within that place. And the person they love, like, that was then, like what you said, 20 years ago, it might be, oh yeah, I was just don't know what I need to do. So to me, to pick anyone, I would say, don't let us leave spirituality from that answer. Because at the end of the day, it's still going to boil into, is the Lord leading you to pick the right thing, the right person or not? Because if you now go into it and now, like, going back and say, oh, what do you want me to do? You just, like, you beat the gun, running a race before you're now saying, okay, umpire, can you get started with this thing? Yeah. So.
All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let me answer the question properly now. Okay. Let's start this way. You gave things the potentials the first person had and the second person doesn't have. Now, first of all, what did you like in the person that seems unserious and has no future? If indeed you're talking about marriage or relationship, what did you like in the person? First of all, that's what I'm saying. That is not a spiritual likeness. It is lost. You're probably looking at, oh, he's a fine boy. You understand? Fine boy, empty pocket, no brain. It equals to death. You understand? Then secondly, the second person, yes, you say it may seem easy to go and meet the person. But I said something first. I said, if the person likes you, is more important. As long as you're a child of God, if somebody gives his all, every day he keeps breaking himself down to make things work. As a child of God, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit at some time will break you down to love this person. So let me just end that on that note, because to me, the first person is lost. There is nothing that you are liking in a person that doesn't have a future. Then, like you said, you can also be, you can also be an angel for that person that is not serious, if we look at it from another place. Because if he's not serious, blah, blah, blah. Also, the Holy Spirit can also break him down to get serious one day. And then you change his life. So if we look at it both ways, like you said.
I think it basically said what I wanted to say. Uh-huh. The person that is not serious, you have to look at it a little bit more carefully. Because people change. Some people are very teachable. And they might change because of your influence in their life. Some people, they don't have like positive influence in their life. But when we do get that, they might change. Some people are very teachable. And they can change.
Number four.
Amen.
Amen.
First of all, I'm going to do this in a scientific way. So, in the sense that I think the questions, we have some missing things in that question. So, because we don't even know what does she mean by seriousness in the first place. What does she mean by seriousness? Is she talking about getting serious about marriage or maybe about his lifestyle or something? One thing I want to say is, no matter what, the lady needs to know herself first. She needs to know herself first. One thing that is very important as a Christian is, we need to know ourselves and know your God. Let her walk up to God. She needs to pray about it. Nobody is unserious. Nobody. I'm serious. Like, I've gone to walk up with so many friends, and I know the stages they pass through in their life. I know some guys that are not serious about their life, and these days I know what they are doing. So she can't just decide, why are you in the midst of something unclear to you? Why are you unclear about all these things? Know yourself, pray about it. I'm very sure God will never forsake his children. So he will always like direct you in the right path.
Amen.
So you need to know yourself first, know what you want, pray about it, and you get the answers.
All right, number five, and then Joshua, number six, and then, uh-oh. Wow. So, you want to go ahead? One more minute. Okay.
I think I will still go back with set your priorities right.
Praise God. Okay.
I'm not done. Now.
Okay, be fast. One minute.
So, okay. The first guy, does he like you? Or not? And even if he's talking about his future plan, is he putting you in the plan? You have to know that as well. If he doesn't like you as much as the second guy, I don't know why you are still trying to make him like you and trying to make him understand he needs to marry you. That's too much.
So get your priorities.
Praise the Lord.
Josh is the last person.
I mean, this is more spiritual than a saying. Mm-hmm. Because we can't say, I can't say, this person is unserious, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to change this person or trying to let this person put me in his plans. So, and I can't say the other person is much more serious and I want him because he's serious and he has future and all of that. It's much more than that. So I think going back to God is everything. Just tell God, what do I do? Do I pick this or pick the other person?
Praise God. Josh.
First of all, I want to say that I think everyone has a future. Okay. The second thing is, what was the question again?
So, the question again is this. You have an option to marry, to pick out of two people. The first person, I know everybody has a future, but you don't see the future in that person right now. You don't see it, but it's there. And the second person is more, you can see the future, right? The person is more purposeful, put together. He has a little bit of money in his pocket. You know, he loves God. They both love God. Let's put it this way. So they both love God. So
Okay, I guess I was just a little confused because we started talking about relationships.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, like you said, there are many different types of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like confused by talking about liking this person. And then I'm like, well, what if it's a relationship between a child and a, you know, adult? And there's so many different relationships, bosses and stuff. So I was a little confused. I think it went a little bit sideways.
All right. So praise God.
Thank you.
So I think I'll end with that. I'll sum the question this way. Whatever decision that you're going to make that has to do with your future, you need to involve God. That's the reality. Regardless of all the information you have today, you're limited. There is no way you can see tomorrow. And the person, now, let's put it in a context of even the person that seems focused, that seems this is what the person is doing. You need to understand that, does that person's vision tie to what God wants you to do? Right now, you're making a decision. I mean, for example, I'll give you a practical example because of Chicago's weather. If you want to buy a car and you go and buy a Ferrari and the next person buys a Honda Pilot, the Ferrari is times 10 of the Honda Pilot. But in today's weather, that Ferrari, the best it can do is stay in the garage. It can't carry you to where you're going. Let's put that in context of this relationship. Whoever you pick, 10 years from now, if they are doing things that does not minister to you, it will be frustrating. If they are going places that you don't see yourself in, you will be frustrated. You will forget I liked this person before. You get what I'm saying? And that's where pain starts to happen. So my point is this. Regardless of what you're going to do, any decision that you want to make that has to do with your future, you need to involve God and move with conviction. Amen? Thank you so much. God bless you.